In the early 1990s, an unexpected figure began to appear ringside at some well-watched boxing matches. A stylish woman with daintily painted nails who occasionally carried a toy poodle under her arm. But Jackie Callan was nobody's poodle. She was, and still is, a boxing manager. Her story's inspired a movie that comes out next week, Against the Ropes, starring Meg Ryan as Jackie Callan. Charles Dutton directed and also co-stars. The story doesn't exactly follow Miss Callan's real life. It's set in Cleveland. She's from Detroit. Back in the early 1990s, Miss Callan had children and a husband. The character carrying her name in the film has neither. The movie boxer is named Luther in real life. Jackie Callan was a publicist for Thomas Hitman Hearns. She managed former middleweight champion James Toney, among others. Why don't we just meet the real Jackie Callan?
Well, maybe that will be in the sequel. Who knows? Maybe there'll be a documentary. But in the meantime, what a great movie Against the Ropes is. And, you know, to be honest with you, Scott, I am from Detroit, love Motown, and I wish more than anything that the movie could have been set in my own hometown. But you can't win every battle, and that was one I didn't win. And as far as the husband and children, the truth of that is that during the writing of the movie, my husband of 30 years walked out on me for someone else. So I did not mind her being single in the movie. You know, who knows? Tom Cruise could have played him or something. You think I want to give him that satisfaction? No way.
We should explain. Jackie Callan has joined us from the studios of NPR West. Thanks very much for making my job so easy. The film suggests that you grew up in around boxing, which I guess isn't strictly true, but how did you get exposed to boxing?
I always loved the sport, but I didn't get into it until 1978 when I was a journalist and went to interview Tommy Hearns. But once I got close enough to it, I just fell madly in love with the whole arena, the smells, the sounds, the electricity in the air. There's nothing like a big championship fight. That's a sporting event that, to me, is unequaled.
Here's the movie version of how you began to manage fighters. Let's just play that clip.
Do you think you can do what I do?
Possibly, if given a chance.
A chance? That's all you need?
Yeah, probably.
Green's contract. It's yours.
I can't afford it.
Oh, you can't afford it. I'll make it easy for you. It's yours for a dollar.
I don't have a dollar.
I'll lend you a dollar, Jackie.
I just bought a boxer for a buck.
So what's the real version?
Well, the real version is actually pretty similar. I worked doing PR for Emanuel Stewart, who managed Tommy Hearns, and I also did a lot of work for Bill Kazursky, who's the local boxing promoter in Detroit, who did all the shows at the Joe Louis Arena and the Palace of Auburn Hills. And it was while I was promoting, you know, as his PR girl, a fight between George Foreman and a heavyweight named Bobby Hitz from Chicago. And Bobby Hitz had no manager. He did lose the fight to George Foreman. But afterwards, I thought, you know what? If this kid had the right manager, maybe he could turn his career around and be a champion. So I approached him. And the truth is, I didn't even have to spend a dollar because no one else wanted him. And he was my first fighter. And although he did not become a world champion, that opened the door to James Toney, Bronco McCart, Tariq Salmassi, Boom Boom Johnson, and so many other fighters.
How would you treat fighters differently, and how did you see them differently from at least some of the other managers you saw in the fight?
Well, I was a mom, you know, and at the time I was raising two boys who were, you know, close to the age of most of the fighters, and I realized that a lot of these young kids didn't have a very stable, if any, home life. Besides just getting them fights, I showed them how to act and how to do an interview properly. I showed them how to dress for a press conference. I designed their outfits for the ring. And I think that that's a good part of what I offered that the other managers, the male managers, didn't offer.
Well, what's the art to booking a fight? What do you look for? Because it's...
Well, it is an art. And I respect the fact that you put it that way. Because you have to match a fighter carefully at the point of his career that he's at. You can't overmatch him too soon, because if he loses, you'll definitely discourage him. But you can't always undermatch him and give him easy wins against somebody who's not even in his league, because then he gets a false sense of how good he is. So it's real tricky. You have to cross-reference every fighter, at least I do. Every fighter that's a prospective opponent for my guy, I look at his record, and then I look at the record of each guy that he fought, so that if he's 25-0, who were the 25 guys that he beat? Were they guys who had a record of 5-10? In that case, it doesn't mean much that he's 25-0. But if he beat guys who were decent fighters, then I know what to look for. So there's a lot of strategy, and it is an art. And I think I was very good at that and still am.
At the same time, did it distress some men you dealt with in the business that...
Tremendously. Yeah. To give you a few examples, mm-hmm. you know, I would walk into a locker room and, you know, oftentimes someone would drop a towel and make an obscene gesture, and, you know, which never worked because usually I would make some remark that was so cutting that they would never do that again. And I was banned from locker rooms sometimes, even though I was a manager and had perfect right to be in there, as all the other managers did. There were times they didn't want to let me in the ring. I had men tell me to go put on a bikini and hold up the ring card in between rounds. That's what I should be doing. And I think the main reason is that boxing is such a tricky sport, and getting a world champion, managing a world champion, is like winning the lottery. You know, there's just very few that make it all the way. And I think it irritated a lot of people that I thought I could do it. I came into their realm, entered their world with this cocky, I can do it attitude. And then when I actually succeeded, that ruffled their feathers even more.
I'm just going to hazard a guess here. Did you find that the boxers tended to respect you more than other managers?
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. My fighters stood up for me in every situation. Anybody that made any kind of a remark would have to go through them first. And after a while, everybody stopped doing that because they didn't want to have to face any of these guys.
I want to ask you about your relationship with James Toney, who became a champion, yes?
Oh, he became 3-4-time champion.
Yet, is it safe to say you guys had a falling out?
Yeah, we had a falling out.
He lost a big fight, we should explain.
Yes, to Roy Jones in 1994.
Mr. Toney, I gather, blamed you for that.
Initially, I think that a lot of fighters try to pass the buck. You know, they don't want to admit to themselves that they screwed up or they didn't fight the best possible fight.
You got a phone call from, was it his mother at one point?
That's correct. His mother called me 2 days later and warned me that he was on his way to my house with a gun and had threatened to kill me and my entire family. But, of course, I think that was just him letting off steam. And once he calmed down, he realized how silly that was. And I don't think he ever would have done it.
How many fighters do you manage now?
Right now, I just have one.
May I ask the name of your current fighter?
Oh, yeah. His name is Muhammad Ali Diab, D-I-A-B. He's a Lebanese kid, and he's from Detroit.
Muhammad Ali... Anything is a pretty hard name to live up to, isn't it?
Well, you know, I think his parents had, you know, an idea right from the get-go what they wanted him to be.
I'd like to raise something with you out of sheer respect for what you've done in the business, if I could. We did a series a number of years ago at this point on brain damage in boxing. And I was just chilled by the statistics. It was common when you took a look at these studies that something in excess of 70% of the people who participate in boxing as an organized sport suffer some kind of brain damage. It's not always obvious the way it is with people we could both mention. Sometimes it's just a matter of slurred speech or color perception, but it permanently changed my feelings about boxing being a sport. And here I'd met all these nice people and just couldn't see them participating in something that even if they won, would hurt them.
Well, that's a very compassionate and interesting and admirable way to look at it. I never heard the statistic of 70%, and I'm not so sure that I 100% buy into that. But I think that the main problem is that a lot of fighters stay in the game too long, are mismatched, take a beating. In my case, I've thrown in the towel when I felt a fighter wasn't going to win and was getting hurt. So I think a lot of it is the management and how carefully the fighters are watched, how much time they take off between fights, because there was a time when a fighter would fight on a Thursday night in Chicago and show up 2 days later in Detroit under another name and get knocked out both days just to pick up a few $100s. So again, I think it's up to the managers and the trainers to protect the fighters better. Mm.
Lennox Lewis, reigning world heavyweight champion, just announced his retirement. I believe he's 38.
Very smart.
Okay, it's a good thing?
Absolutely.
What does this do to the rest of the heavyweight division, his retirement now?
Well, it throws it wide open. In my mind, I picture somebody young, mid-20s, who's got another 10 years in front of them that's going to just take this whole division by storm. Hmm. I wish I managed him.
But you could, couldn't you?
If I find him before someone else does. And I'm always looking, and right now that would be a real dream come true to sort of, you know, cap off my career with a heavyweight champion. Oh, that would be great.
Miss Callan, nice talking to you.
Thank you so much, Scott.
Boxing manager Jackie Callan, a movie based loosely on her life story, opens next week. It's called Against the Ropes.